So what we're going to be doing is a teaching on judgment and the three witnesses. And so what we're going to try to do is, to show people the whole, all the parameters of what we believe and how everything can make sense. From Genesis to Revelation, we're talking about judgments. We know that Adam and Eve were judged. And at the end of the book of Revelation, there's a great white throne judgment. So what the word is, and that judgment is not a bad word. Judgment is only a bad word is when you've been doing bad things. Mm-hmm. So judgment on righteousness is very good because that means you get your goods.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As we have stated before, there are no atheists or there's no agnostic. There's only people who say that with their mouth. We're going to determine is every person has three witnesses available to them. And these witnesses make sure that they know there is a creator and they know basically his will. Not all of his will, but partial of his will. If there was a true atheist or a true agnostic, they could not be justifiably judged. You can't tell somebody you're going to perish if you can actually believe there is no creator. I mean, there's no way you could judge that. So, I can't come up to a cow and say death penalty because you did not bow to the creator. They have any idea there is a creator, and they never will know, have any idea that there is a creator. What we're going to find out is everybody knows there's a creator, so first thing, we stop the facade when somebody says I'm an atheist and say there is no such thing. It's a Greek mythology. I'm like an agnostic. There is no such thing on that either. And agnostic means you're not sure. Everybody knows there's a creator, period. Yahweh has imprinted that in us, and that's what we're going to be talking about, and the three witnesses that speak it very loudly. The other thing we're going to learn is to break the image that man, according to science fiction, which we don't call Darwinism science. We call it science fiction. And science fiction is Big Bang, where nothing exists and then everything exists. That's called science fiction. It has nothing to do with science. And every scientist knows that also. There are no cavemen. So Adam and Eve were made in the image and likeness of Elohim. They were perfect. Yahweh had to imprint and give them everything, that knowledge-wise, everything that they needed to know about fire, how to produce fire, how to put out fire, about flints, about metals, about reproducing each other, what foods to eat, what foods not to eat, what to do when you cut yourself or you wounded yourself. They had to be imprinted, or otherwise you could never survive. So we must understand perfect beings who live for how long?
900 years.
They taught everybody else. So you have an encyclopedia of a perfect individual, husband and wife, and he probably lived to be 900 also. Everybody lived to be 900. So everything that they had is when they bring up children, they show them, here's what you do to get fire, here's what you do this, and don't eat this, and don't eat that, and why do we know that? Because we do. No different than a goose knows what to eat and what not to eat. And a goose knows when to fly and when not to fly. And a goose knows go to water instead of landing on land at night for protection. They know all this. Why? Because they're imprinted. Mm-hmm. Right? Yahweh's given them, otherwise nothing would exist. Okay, we got that. Now, let's look at the whole story of judgment. And actually, judgment begins in Genesis 1-2. When we think about it. So let's go to 2 Peter 3.
New Testament.
And then we can tell everybody else our story. And really what it comes down to is...
All the way to
There's going to be a new place. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Where there's going to be no death, no sickness, no disease. And who wants to go there? So we're taking hands. And if you want to go there, here's what the requirements are. You're going to do these things. The people, other people are going to say, I don't want to go there. And guess what? You won't. Because you will perish. So here's our judgment. 2 Peter 2, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 5. And this is going to talk about Genesis 1, 2, Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, which is really neat too. In the beginning is what they call a grammatical inversion, which means what's important is the word in the beginning. It could have said God in the beginning, or God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, but instead it begins with the beginning, which Yahweh is emphasizing what is important in the beginning. It's called a grammatical inversion, inverted the sentence. The Bible starts with it, in the beginning. Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the earth, not the heavens, the earth became without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Here's where we are in verse 5. For this they willingly forget that there were heavens of old and on earth on account of water and by means of water compacted by Yahweh's word, by which means the world that then was with water being flooded perished. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. And when there's darkness on the face of the face of the deep, and you have water, and you have no sun, what happens to the water? It
freezes.
Everything goes to absolute zero, which is 250 degrees below zero. Adam, stop. Judgment. Now, this is very interesting. Judgment, Yahweh judges predominantly two ways, by water and by fire. Guess what? They're the same thing. Water is fire. So water is H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Fire is oxygen. No, nothing can burn without oxygen. And obviously it could be things besides hydrogen. Here's another interesting too. When Yahweh's...
With the elements of fire, he didn't say.
Oh, I said there could be different, any carbon... Besides hydrogen, can be flammable, but it needs oxygen.
But you said water is two part oxygen, one part hydrogen.
Yeah, which is fire isn't a compound like that. So this is a molecule. Fire is not a molecule. A molecule is two parts hydrogen, which is flammable when you mix it with oxygen. Hydrogen is a gas like natural gas or anything else, and you put oxygen with it and light a match, boom, you got fire. Comes from water. Now, what's interesting on that is when Yahweh is pleased, fire comes down to the altar and consumes something, right? Mm-hmm. What's the best representation that Yahweh reveals himself? In what form?
Fire.
And?
Water.
What was over the tent of meetings?
Smoke and fire.
Cloud.
Cloud, not smoke.
Oh, okay. Cloud.
And what is a cloud made of?
Water.
Water. Isn't that interesting? When Christ was being baptized, a cloud came over and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." When they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud came over. What is a cloud? Water. Isn't that interesting? Just a little note, sidetrack. First earth was destroyed, but not the heavens. The heavens were not destroyed by water. The earth was destroyed by water. Let's see here. Now we're going to 6 or 7. While the heavens and the earth that now are by the same word have been stored with fire, being kept unto the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly men. What this word is about is judgment, judging the godly and judging the ungodly. We go to verse 12 and 13. Expecting and hastening the presence of the day of Yahweh, by reason of which heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and elements becoming intensely hot are to be melted. Third came, there is the third heaven and third earth, but new heavens and a new earth, according to his promise, are we expecting, wherein righteousness is to dwell. So that is our focal point. Mm-hmm. So we find out judgment. To be judged, and remember that's rewards and penalties, the definition, a person has to be mentally competent. The definition of mental capacity is sufficient understanding and memory to comprehend in a general way the situation in which one finds oneself and the nature, purpose, and consequence of any act or transaction into which one poses to enter. So every person who rejects the Creator is mentally competent, except for children, and maybe somebody who is retarded, will be held accountable for that because they're mentally competent to be judged. Adam and Eve were judged, as we know. They had one commandment, and they broke it. Cain, now think of this, Cain was judged. No need to teach him that murder was not right. I mean, there's no law that said, okay, here we go, no murdering your brother. Which we're going to find out, he knew it was wrong. Why? Because you're hardwired. You already know that. Noah's generation, all judged. How about Sodom? These were all before the Mosaic Law, where we even had a written law. Sodom, judged. What were they judged for? What was their sin? What was it, Donna?
Sexual immorality.
Homosexuality. Homosexuality, or sodomy, people know automatically that it's wrong. They were judged. They weren't Hebrews. They weren't of Abraham or anything else. Nineveh, which we're going to find out, was Nineveh a Hebrew race?
Syrian.
They were Syrian, unbelievers, and so they don't have any information what Abraham and them did. And so we're going to go to Jonah 3. That's page in the Old Testament, Melania 883. And so this will be really revealing. So Jonah's hard to find. That's what I try to do also with the kids. On the minor prophets, you know, if you can get close.
Keep on. 800.
That's good.
Keep on. Closer.
Chapter 3, verse 3.
Keep on. Chapter 3, verse
3. Poor investment.
Okay, read verse 3 and 4. Nope. Yeah, right there. There you go.
See three? Mm-hmm. Three, three? Okay.
Three and four.
Then came... No, that's 3:1. Do 3:3.
3:3.
Oh. So that's chapter 3.
All right, then.
There you go.
So Jonah arose and went his way unto
Nineveh.
There you go.
According to the word of Yahweh, Nineveh began... being a city great before God of 3 days' journey.
One more.
So Jonah began to enter the city 1 day's journey, and he cried out and said, yet for 40 days, and Nineveh is to be overthrown.
Okay, stop here. Now he's come over and just come in, overthrown. Well, if these people could be innocent, you just can't come in and say overthrown. You should come in and say, you've got to stop this, and you've got to stop this, and you've got to stop this, and you've got to stop this. He just comes in and says it's going to be overthrown. Well, how do you know that they knew what they were doing was evil? It says it right in verse 8. Here's the king. king said, let both man and beast cover themselves with sackcloth, and let them cry unto Elohim mightily. Yea, let them turn every man from his wicked way, and from the... Right there. Let every man turn from his wicked way, and from the violence which is in their hands. So he knew why they were being judged by that. You know, Jonah didn't have to point it out. They already knew in their hearts wickedness and violence. Who knoweth whether Elohim himself may turn and grieve and turn away from the glow of his anger that we perish not? Jude, we'll go to the book of Jude. And Jude is right before Revelation. Melania. So Jude, Revelation is the last book of the New Testament. Jude is right before it. Jude, Revelations, chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to see a lot of judging of entities, of supernatural beings.
Reminds me of Adonai Bezek.
Yeah. And hey, Sean, would you want to read, say, 3 to 9?
Sure. Read it. Oh, Jude. All the way to 51. It's all the way to the end. So here's Revelation, which is the last book. Here's Jude. Okay. 3 through 9?
Yes.
Okay. Beloved, though I was using all diligence to be writing unto you concerning our common salvation, yet have I had necessity to write at once unto you, exhorting you to be earnestly contending for the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. For there have crept in unobserved certain men who, from of old, have been publicly notified for this sentence, ungodly men, the favor of our Elohim, turning unto wantonness, and our only Master and Lord, Yehoshua Mashiach, denying. I am minded, therefore, to put you in remembrance, though ye know all things once for all, that the Lord, when a people out of Egypt he had saved, in the next place, them that believed not, destroyed. Messengers also, even them who had not kept their own principality, but had forsaken their proper dwelling, unto the judgment of the great day and perpetual bonds under thick gloom hath he reserved, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, having in like manner to these given themselves over to fornication and gone away after other kind of flesh, lie exposed as an example, a penalty of age-abiding fire undergoing. In like manner, nevertheless, even these, in their dreamings, flesh indeed defile, while lordship they set aside, and dignities they defame. Whereas Michael, the chief messenger, when, with the adversary, disputing, he was reasoning about the body of Moses, durst not impose on him a defamatory sentence, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Now, Reba, these... whatsoever things indeed they know not, they defame. But whatsoever things naturally, like the irrational creatures, they well understand. By these are they bringing themselves to ruin. Alas for them, because in the way of Cain have they gone. In the error of Balaam's wage have they run riot. And in the gainsaying of Korah have they perished. These are they. We'll just kind of stop right there. But we see there's judgment through it was messengers, through Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we just saw, you know, I just put on our Facebook, people call same-sex marriage, it's just a new title of an old story. The old story is sodomy. It's always been, and the consequences of sodomy, Yahweh judged Sodom, Gomorrah, and the surrounding cities, which included Lot's wife, when you think about it, and his potential son-in-laws, who obviously sodomy didn't really bother them. That's why they wanted to hang around the city. We'll go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. So we have to be very sure to realize the attributes of Yahweh are three, predominantly. He delights in loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. So everybody knows about the love, but they forsake the justice and what is right. So justice is is destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Justice is putting messengers in prisons of gloom because they left what they did what they were not supposed to be doing. That's called justice. We're going to see here too in verse 6 through 9.
What chapter?
In chapter 1, sorry. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, 6 through 9. If at least it is a righteous thing with Yahweh to recompense affliction unto them that afflict you, and unto you that are afflicted, release with us by the revealing of the Lord Yahushua from heaven, with his messengers of power and a fiery flame, holding forth vengeance. Who's going to be holding forth vengeance? Yahushua. He's coming down in the flame of fire. And who? And why is he going to do vengeance? The next sentence says, against them that do what?
Refuse
to know Yahweh. They refuse to know Yahweh. Next part, and to them who decline to hearken unto the glad message of our Lord Yahushua, who indeed a penalty shall pay, age abiding destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Here's something I'm just going to address. Now, it's a little side issue, but people came up and made a point. Or one, a quote-unquote atheist said this, and we know there are no atheists. There are just those who refuse to bow to the Creator. But he said, is God, you know, going to grab the Jews who were killed in the Holocaust, is he going to send them to hell? And that's supposed to make you feel bad, right? Because all of a sudden you feel these poor Jews who died being burned up in the Holocaust. So that wasn't the worst of their problems, because now their God is going to grab them and even do it worse. And he says, I got you, right? And you say, absolutely not. First and foremost, there is no hell. All right? So when we say hell, you have to ask people, which we've done these other teachings, what Hebrew word are you saying? And all they can say is Sheol, and it's not Sheol. Sheol, the first usage is Genesis 39, I think, or 35, and it's Jacob going down to Sheol. So, first and foremost, the Christian mythology has made a real predicament of themselves by coming up with this hell and torturing. The other thing is, the Jews, in the World War II time, all had ability to know about Yahushua, their Messiah. And they have all, because it was available to them, and they have all, in that particular time, if you maintained to be a Jew, he was not your Lord. If he was not your Lord, then what's it say? They refuse to know God, and they refuse to decline to hearken unto the glad message of the Lord Yahushua. And so what's going to happen to them and the Germans and anybody else, they're going to go to an age of abiding destruction. So not the Jews, it's anybody else who has not made Yahushua, and then who's available to make Yahushua their Lord and Savior. But they're not going to hell. So, I thought that was just a side note. Now we're going to look at hardwiring or imprinting. So we have two witnesses. And here's what the definition of a witness is. A witness is a person who has firsthand knowledge of an event, or one who can testify on the basis of a report which he has heard. This is interesting too. In the demand of test in the law, the Mosaic law, when it had to do with any kind of corporal or capital punishment, there had to be at least two witnesses. You cannot put a person to death with one witness. So Yahweh has automatically given every human being, man, woman, and child, two witnesses internally. And here's what they are. And here's one other thing. A witness doesn't have to be a person either. So a witness can be a footprint on the moon. And so if you went to the moon and you saw a footprint, what does that tell you?
Someone's been there.
Somebody's been there. That's a witness. It could be a flower. It could be an insect. Anything else. Mankind, unlike a cow, has the ability to perceive, to apprehend with the mind or senses, to understand. That's what perceive means. So the first witness is that there is a creator. So every person who is of age knows that there is a creator. And that's, let's start with Psalms 19. Now Psalms, Melania, is about in the middle of your Bible. So look at the middle of your Bible and just open it right in the middle. It's pretty close. Are you in Psalms?
Yeah.
Okay, go to chapter 9, or Psalms 19. And there are no chapters in Psalms.
Hey,
and we have to remember that Yahweh made the earth for mankind. He wants to fellowship and he wants us to become his children. He must make them accountable that we can know who he is. To have fellowship with him, and also to judge us. Here's just an illustration. If a person from an island, faraway island, came to the United States and murdered somebody in the United States, right, because it was acceptable in his island, would that be a good defense for his
justifiable.
It was justifiable. No, absolutely not. He would still be responsible. So we have these same imprints. And in Psalms 19, it shows that. The heavens are telling the glory of El, and the work of his hands the expanse is declaring. Day unto day doth pour forth speech, and night unto night doth breathe out knowledge. There is no speech and there are no words unheard their voice. And this is very significant. So every man, woman, and child, which there are billions of people before us that have never heard about Yahushua. They never heard about Yahweh. Nobody's ever contacted them. They never had a book. They don't know how to read. You have people in Africa right now that have no idea because nobody's ever... never has talked to them about it. They can, realistically, legally, they could not be judged for that. But the words are speaking to them from the heavens, that there's a creator. And this is all about. Verse 3, there is no speech and there are no words, unheard is their voice. So the stars and the creation has a voice. And this is very significant. We're going to be keep talking about the voice. And then what is the voice speaking? It's speaking about Yahweh. Even though they're not going to know your name. Yet, through all the earth hath gone forth their voice. There it is. Through all the earth hath gone forth their voice. And to the end of the world their sayings. For the sun hath he set up as a tent thereof, and he, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, he rejoices as a hero to run a race. From one end of the heavens is he going forth, and his circuit to the other end thereof, and nothing is hid from his glowing heat. So internally, a cow cannot look at the stars and say, who put those there? But every human can and does. Now we go to Romans chapter 1. And everybody's usually used to this. This is our first witness, the internal imprinting of the existence of a creator. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 1. And we're past it.
John,
you got to
go Acts and Romans.
Yeah.
One more book. There you go.
Stop. And that's
1:18-25.
For there and for there is, I keep going that over and over again. You know, Yahweh is just and right and loving kindness. There are people we have to be able to explain to people. Say, well, what about the person on our island who never heard about Yahushua? What's going to happen to him? We're going to have to tell people what's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. Very simply. And the word is going to imply that. 18. For there is being revealed an anger of Yahweh from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who the truth and unrighteousness do hold down. And that is the present Democratic Party right now, the United States of America. Inasmuch as what may be known of Yahweh is manifest among them. For Yahweh unto them hath made it manifest or evident. For the unseen things of him, you know, a boot imprint on the moon's surface, there's something unseen that you know has happened, right?
Right.
And you know somebody's been here. It's unseen. I can see its manifestation right here. So the unseen thing of him from a world's creation by the things made being perceived are clearly seen. So an atheist clearly sees this. Obama clearly sees this. You know, all these other people. Even as eternal power and divinity, to the end, they should be what?
Without
excuse. And I'll keep reading. Inasmuch as having come to know Yahweh, not as Yahweh did they glorify him or give him thanks. So every scientist who says Darwinism is doing this. But were made fruitless in their reasonings, and darkened was their undiscerning heart. Professing to be wise, they were made foolish, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible Yahweh for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man, and a bird, and four-footed beast, and reptiles. Where do they say we came from?
Uh-huh.
All these animals. Right? Reptiles. Wherefore God, or Yahweh, gave them up in the coveting of their hearts unto impurity, so as to be dishonoring their bodies among them, who indeed exchanged the truth of Yahweh for the falsehood and rendered worship and service unto the creature. How about Gaia? How about Earth Day? All this is nothing new. Rather than unto the Creator who has blessed unto the ages, amen. And then the rest of it goes into homosexuality and sodomy, the perversion that happens. It's happening in the United States, in Canada, in Europe right now. It always has happened. That is the first witness. So everybody knows there's a creator. And a person says, you know, when a person says, I'm an atheist, you say what? No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. No such thing. Next subject. And that will infuriate them in the first place, but they already know it. They're lying. They already know this stuff. If a blind man wanted to argue about the existence of the sun, would you argue with him? No. Then you become a fool even doing that. So we've got to know in our heads, first and foremost, these are all ploys. They're all facades that have no reasoning ability. And so don't enter into them. The second witness is everybody is imprinted with love thy neighbor as thyself, regardless. They never have to hear it. They just know don't do something to somebody else that you wouldn't want done to yourself. That gets rid of stealing, right? Mm-hmm. It gets rid of beating, right? It gets rid of murder. It gets rid of, and these are the Ten Commandments. Honoring your father and your mother. I mean, would you want your children to honor you? Yes. So I need to do that. Do I want somebody to steal my goods? If you're on an island, no, I don't want somebody to steal my goods. All right? And so you don't know about the Sabbath, but you know about the sodomy. That's not good. And so many, all the different things is all laid out there in the one thing of loving thy neighbor as thyself. And so this is also in Romans. So all the four witnesses, which I pointed out three, but there's actually four, are all in the book of Romans. Now we go to, we won't go there, but Genesis 4, 8 through 13. Yahweh addressed Cain, and he says, where's your brother? He says, I don't know. Well, why would he lie about that? All right, because he did something bad. Well, how do you know he did something bad? Was it posted on the gates of Eden? No, because he knew. Because Yahweh imprinted that. And then his blood, the voice of the ground called out. So we have the voice coming back again. So that's very significant. But we'll go to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. So here's the other witness. Now, we've got two groups of people, Hebrews, who have the Mosaic law, and everybody else, which are called the nations. For whensoever the nations, which have not law, by nature the things of the law may be doing, see, they don't have a law, but they're doing the law, the same, not having law unto themselves, are law, who indeed show the work of the law written in their hearts. Where is it? The law is written in their hearts. Not the Levitical law. I can't eat pork and I can't eat... I can't touch blood or dead bones. And so none of this, and Yahweh would never judge them accordingly on that too, because you can't know this. Their conscience, right there, therewith bearing witness. What is bearing witness? Their conscience. And between one another, they're reasoning, accusing, or even excusing them. So, we see that right off the bat, verse 13, in the day on which Yahweh judges the secrets of men according to my glad message through Christ Yahushua. Now we go to 26 and 27, same chapter. If then the uncircumcision, which are the non-Hebrews who did not have the law, be guarding the righteous requirements of the law, shall not his uncircumcision as circumcision be reckoned? And the circumcision by nature, completing the law, shall judge thee who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. So they don't have the law, but in their hearts they do have a law. And since they, if they decide to elect to do that, not to steal, not to kill, not to rape, you know, all these things, then Yahweh counts that to them as righteousness. That's the second witness. Now we're going to go through 6 through 11 of Romans chapter 2.
Romans 2, 6 through
11? Yeah, 6 through 11. We're going to see how it works. Here's another misnomer that we have so much of in today's period, where people look at a section instead of the whole. And in essence, right today we have a problem in the Christian circle that works don't matter. We're saved by grace, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more or any less. You know, unconditional love, on and on and on. Works don't matter. Is that right? We're not saved by works, but let's look about works. In verse 6, in Romans, which is a church epistle, who will render unto each one according to his
works.
And to them on the one hand who by way of endurance and good works are seeking glory, honor, and incorruptible life, age, and body, good works. And to them on the other hand who are of contention are not yielding unto the truth. Isn't that funny? Not yielding unto the truth. And that is the atheists. And that is the quote-unquote atheists or agnostic. They're fighting Yahweh, is what they're doing, by not yielding, but are yielding unto unrighteousness, anger and wrath, tribulation and anguish, against every soul of man who worketh out what is base, both of the Jew first and of Greeks. But honor, or glory and honor and peace unto everyone who worketh what is good, both in the Jew first and unto the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with Yahweh. For as many as without law sinned, without law also shall perish. So they're not going to get the judgment of the law because they didn't have the Mosaic law to tell them that. As many as within law sinned, through law shall be judged. So you have a person who was out the law. If he sins, there's one repercussions. The person who has a law, like us, we know the law. And when we deliberately go against it, we will be held, we'll be judged according to what the law says. And so it'd be just like today. I mean, in the Hebrew times, if you committed adultery, you were killed. And probably for a non-Hebrew who did not have that written anywhere, he didn't know the severity of that, he would be judged differently because he didn't know. But the Hebrews knew. That's the second witness. Now we go into the third witness. And who would think what the third witness would be? So we have an internal witness that we know. We look at the creation, and it completely shows the unseen creator. Okay? That's a witness. Second witness is we know in our heart that we know with the love our neighbor as thyself. Nobody has to tell us that. That's the second. Third witness is this book. It's called the Word of Yahweh. It's a witness, and it's going to tell you what to do and not to do. Mm-hmm. It speaks. Does this book speak? Uh-huh. Yeah, it speaks, and that's the witness. Your conscience speaks, tells you don't do that. Your internal part also speaks and says, there is a creator, because this couldn't happen otherwise. All right, so I better respect that creator, and I better honor that creator, and I better give sacrifices to that creator, and I should be doing things pleasing in his sight. Because he will judge me. Because we know there's a creator. So all these things go together. So the third witness is the written word of Yahweh. Not everybody has that. And majority of the people probably never have had that. Billions have never heard about it. But here's Romans 2. Well, we already did that. Romans 2, 12 to 13. Through the law we shall be judged. There are... This is a little side note, but this is very interesting. Go to Exodus. Okay, Melania. The Old Testament, Genesis. Next book is Exodus. Old Testament, that's the beginning of the book. Beginning of the book, Melania. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. Chapter 4. And this is very neat how the Rotherham did this, and so does the Young Bible do this. So these are all voices. This book speaks to us through a voice, through words. Our conscience speaks to us. You know, the awareness that there's a creator speaks to it. These are all voices. So Moses, we're going to see there's three voices concerning Moses when he's going into Pharaoh. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then responded Moses and said, you know, so Yahweh says, you're going into Egypt to save the people. Okay. Then responded Moses and said, and lo, they will not believe me, neither hearken to my voice, for they will say, Yahweh hath not appeared unto thee. Good point. Atheists, right? So this would be an atheist. We don't believe. So we're going to give you three voices. Just like there's three witnesses, we're going to give you the people three voices so they will believe. And Yahweh said unto them, what is this in thy hand? And he said, a staff. And then he said, cast it to the earth. And he cast it to the earth. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from the face thereof. And Yahweh said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by its tail. This is the second one. So he put forth his hand and laid hold of it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, Elohim of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Then said Yahweh unto him, yet again, bring, I pray thee, thy hand into thy bosom. So he brought his hand into his bosom, and then took it out, and lo, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, put back thy hand into thy bosom. So he put back his hand into his bosom, and then took it out of his bosom, and lo, it had become again like his own flesh. Now we begin the story. Thus shall it come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the, what?
Voice.
All the other Bible translations will translate that sign, but it's the Hebrew word voice. Of the first sign, then they will believe the, what?
Voice
of the next sign, which is putting your hand in and becoming leprous. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe even these two signs, nor hearken to thy voice, then shalt thou take of the water of the river and pour it out on the dry land. So shall the water which thou hast taken from the river become, yea, it shall become blood on the dry ground. We know the two ways to receive this is how the Hebrews receive this, these voices, and how Pharaoh received these voices. So we go to Exodus 5, verse 2. No, wait a minute. That's wrong. 3, verse 19. Exodus 3. Turn back to chapter 3. No, let me see. No, I'm sorry. 4, verse 30 and 31. Now I've got it.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, same chapter, verse 30 and 31. And Aaron spake all the words which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs before the eyes of the people, and the people did what?
Believed.
And when they heard that Yahweh had concerned himself for the sons of Israel, and that he had looked upon their humiliation, then what did they do? Bend they their heads and bowed themselves down. This is what it's all about. It's bowing to our Creator, to Yahweh's will. Did Pharaoh ever do that?
No.
No. He does just the opposite, and he's destroyed for that. So here is the two kind of people. Refuse to bow, bow. Okay. Three voices were given to the Hebrews. They bowed. Three voices and a lot more voices, you know, 10 altogether, were given to Pharaoh, and he still refused to bow. And so he died. He was destroyed, which is very good. That's just. Those are the three voices. Now we go to the fourth witness. So the first two witnesses are for every man, woman, and child, regardless of whether you have a Bible or ever heard of a Bible. And in my best estimation, you will be judged, which we'll see, in your lifetime by the works that you did. We have three witnesses, and we have the Word of Yahweh. Right? But we actually, because we have the Word of Yahweh, so that's what all the Hebrews had also. So they had the Law of Moses, and they had the other two witnesses. But we have one more witness, that's called the fourth witness, which, what do you think that would be?
Holy Spirit.
Spirit. All right, yeah, Holy Ruach. It's only for this age. We live in the seventh age, which I call the age of the sacred secret, where the Spirit is poured out. Nobody had that before our age, and after we're gone, when Christ comes back for us, we will not have it in the book of Revelation. So we're in a very special time, but this witness is... Let me see how much time we got. Oh, God. I'm fast. Not going to be able to finish.
Talk faster.
Yeah. But it's nice to look at this. Okay, so this fourth witness... We know, I'll just kind of go to the verses. Acts 2.38, it says, if you make Yahushua your Lord, you shall receive the free gift of what? Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach. That's Acts 2.38. John 14.26. Okay, Melania, New Testament.
She's right. Remember,
now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to John, the New Testament.
He's looking at the page numbers.
Yeah, okay. You don't want to do that. Just go. No, not like that. It's all the way at the... Remember,
and then,
oh, here.
Psalms is in the middle.
Yeah, Psalms in the middle. You got to go way past because we're in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. There we go. Now, what book are you in?
Zechariah.
Okay, you're still not there yet, so keep going. You're going to hit John.
There you go, Matthew.
Mark, Luke, John. There you go. That's how you do it. You can't look at page numbers. It's not going to do you any good. John 14, I better get there. And this is the great witness. Uh, 26. But the advocate, the word is paraclete in Greek, the Holy Ruach, which the Father will send into my name, he will teach you all things. Here is our fourth witness. And will put you in mind of all things which I told you. Go to chapter 16, verse 13 of John. 13, verse 14. Howbeit, as soon as he hath come, the Ruach of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatsoever he heareth, he will speak, and coming things will he announce unto you. So we see the Ruach is witnessing, is giving us information. We go to Romans 8. So John, Acts, Romans. There you go. So just by memorizing those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8. This is a great chapter for it.
Romans 8, chapter 8.
We should read verse 9 through 18, but we don't have time. Let's read 14. For as many as by Yahweh's Ruach are being led, there's our witness. We're being led by the Ruach, the same are Yahweh's sons. If ye have not received the Ruach of servitude, lead back into fear, but have received the Ruach of sonship, where we exclaim, Abba, Father. For the Ruach itself bears witness together with our Ruach that we are children of God, or children of Yahweh. So there's our fourth witness, which is only for us. It's directing us. And this is very important. Let's see here. Kind of sum things up. We have, the more witnesses we have, the more accountable we are for our actions, right? So a native in Africa who does not have a Bible is not going to be accountable for that. He's not going to be judged accordingly. He can't be righteously. We have the Bible. If we sit on it and don't read it, are we going to be accountable for having read it?
Yes.
And since you didn't do it, it was there, you didn't do it, you will be judged accordingly. But you didn't do it. Because otherwise, here, Stuart, I gave you this. What'd you do? And so a great many Christians have never read the Bible. Mm-hmm. But they will be judged because they had it in their possession, or not even in their possession, but they had access to it. Everybody knows the Bible is the world-famous book. Now, if you have Ruach also, you're at the highest level of producing fruit, of getting the greatest rewards and rewards than anybody else, but you're also at the highest level of being judged as a poor steward. I'm just going to read some verses off about judging, and so people can go to them. It's Romans 2, 5, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Ephesians 6, 8, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 25, Revelations 20, verse 11. Well, we can go there. Let's go to Revelations 20. Kind of sum up things. And Revelation of judging. Revelations 20, last book of the Bible. Verse 11 through 15. Now, people will keep saying works don't matter, works don't matter, works don't matter. All those verses I gave you said just the opposite. We are been giving Ruach, we become sons of Yahweh to produce much fruit. Fruit is good works. And 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth, and heaven and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their what?
Works.
Works. Watch this. And the sea gave up the dead and that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. Alright, so when somebody said works don't matter, now we're going to be up before this particular time, but they absolutely matter. And here is other verses on good works, and that's Romans 7:4, Ephesians 2:10, Colossians 1:10, John 15. We got a whole chapter about in the Gospel of John, that's before our age, but it says, about the vine, the husbandman, and the branch. And if you didn't bear fruit, what happened to you?
Cut off.
You're cut off. And when you were cut off, where did you end up?
Burned.
Yeah, you're thrown into the fire because you did not produce fruit. And if you did produce fruit, you were pruned. Right? So, and what Aaron discussed before with Ruach, it says, I, 1 Corinthians 14 says, I want you to prophesy, and I want you to speak in tongues, and I want you to interpret so that the church receive edification. And what happens if you say no? And most Christians say no. Mm-hmm. Will they be judged for saying no?
Yeah.
Yes, because it said do it. And they say, I'm not going to do it. So be it. That was your choice, but you will be judged accordingly. And so we'll sum up in Luke 12.
Remember
where Luke is? Yeah, so Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Yeah, the four Gospels.
Start back into the...
You said Luke what? I'm sorry.
Well, Luke chapter 12. And this is about... It won't be too long over. 12, verse 41. And very significant. Those who have been giving much, much is required. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Very simply. We have been given a lot. Much is required. And it also means you will really be rewarded. Mm-hmm. But if you sit on your hands and do nothing, you will be judged for doing nothing.
Right.
So, 41. But Peter said, Lord, unto us this parable speakest thou, or even unto all. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful steward, the prudent one, whom the Lord will appoint over his body of attendants, to be given in due season the major allowance of wheat? Happy that servant, this is great, this is us, happy that servant, whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find doing thus, doing what I've asked him to do. This book tells us what to do. The Ruach inside us tells us what to do. Here, Donna, call this person. Revelation, I don't want to call this person. Call this person. I don't want to call this person. Call this person. I don't want to call this person. Okay. Shauna, call this person. And Shauna calls this person. What's going to happen to you?
Held accountable.
You're going to be held accountable for disobedience. And that witness, the Ruach, was telling you to do it, and okay, duly noted in the book. Of a truth I say unto you, over all his possessions we appoint him. So if you're a faithful steward, hallelujah. That's what we want to be. Hallelujah. We'll be appointed in the new heaven and new earth. We're going to have such a tremendous opportunity. But if that servant should say in his heart, my Lord delayeth to come, and should begin to be striking the youths and the maids, be eating also and drinking and making himself drunk, the Lord of that servant will have come on a day when he is not expecting, and an hour when he is not taking note, and will cut him asunder, and his part with the unfaithful will appoint. And that servant who has come to know the will of his Lord, and neither prepared nor wrought unto his will, this is his will, Ruach is his will, shall be beaten with many stripes, whereas he who hath not come to know and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with fewer stripes. So that's the native.
Right.
All right? He doesn't have the book.
Yeah.
And everyone to whom was given much, much should be sought from him. And to whom they committed much, for more than common will they ask him. Very simply. So to people who want to work, hallelujah, I want that job. I want to be the steward. Right? Because in the new heaven and earth, I want to be in the action. And another person says, this earth is fine for me. I don't really care about it. That's fine. You still have salvation if you made Yahushua your Lord. But he's really not much of your Lord because you say, Lord, Lord, but do not what I say. Mm-hmm. You call me Lord, so I tell you to speak in tongues. I would that you all speak in tongues, but you say, I'm not going to speak in tongues. That's your choice. But when he's going to be picking his candidates to run his kingdom, you're not going to be held in very high esteem compared to the person who was speaking in tongues every day or prophesying every day, because, aha, that's the person I like. I told him to do something and he did it. When I told him to call somebody, it might have been twice. You might have had questions, but you end up doing it. You might have done it grudgingly, But you still did it, right? Okay, that's what I want. I want obedience. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is everything. Okay.
So judgment is the Olympic Games. When you go to the trophies, is a judgment.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's a judgment.
So if you're working your tail off, you want judgment.
Yeah, you want judgment, yeah. I want. So wait a minute, we're going to have a closing word of prayer. Well, Father, we're going to have a closing word of prayer and have a prophecy for anybody who is listening. Well, Father, we thank you so much for these words, and we thank you for life that's more than abundant. We thank you, Christ, without your giving your sacrifice. You died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5, you said you died for us in order for us to do one thing, that we may live for you. Not sit on a couch for you, not watch TV for you, but to live, to put into motion and be your extension where we can bear much fruit. So we thank you for that opportunity to bear fruit, and we thank you for Ruach, Father, that you poured out on us through Mashiach HaVishua in order that you can communicate to your family. So we thank you for those words through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach HaVishua. My sons and my daughters, as you walk forth in this life, stay focused upon my written word. My written word is my anchor that will anchor your life. Do not listen to the doctrines of men, because the doctrines of men will drift you far away from where I want you to be. My word will anchor you, and then from that anchor, you can be producing much fruit. You can be yielding great harvest, tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold, which I will reward you, as I have said, I will reward your good behaviors.